नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय विप्ररात उवाच ब्रह्मादय सूरकन्ना मुनयोथ सिद्धा सत्वाय कथाना कथयो वच संप्रफाहै नारद तुम पुरु गुणाय अधुना पिपिप्रु किं तोष्टुमर्हाति समे हरिरुक्रचाते
Sad Maharaj prayed, How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words. Although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, then what is to say of me? I am not at all qualified. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A Vaishnav who is fully qualified to serve the Lord, still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, Jagai madhai haite muni se papishta, purishera kita haite muni se lagishta. Thus, he considers himself unqualified, lower than the worms in stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. A pure Vaishnav actually thinks of himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure exalted Vaishnav, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. Every pure Vaishnav should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnav qualifications. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ibasihishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 9. entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. Text number 9. This particular sloka is the first of the prayers that Prahlad Maharaj is to offer to Lord Narasimhadev. You may say it is his introduction. The series of events that led to this historical moment are quite important to understand in order to comprehend who is Prahlad and why the Lord appeared exclusively out of his love for this child. We know the story. Hiranyakashipu, who by his tremendous determination performed such severe practice of tapasya that he attained powers that had never been seen by anyone less than Lord Brahma or Shiva in this universe. And he used those powers to satisfy his lust, his greed. Such determination, such a desire. He wanted to control the universe. He had a big desire, and he was willing to pay the price. Such severe austerities. Even the greatest of sages and rishis who are seeking self-realization, it would be very difficult for them to perform. Rupa Goswami prays with the same enthusiastic attachment that young boy and young girl may have for each other. We should attach ourselves to Krishna like that. In other words, Krishna consciousness does not mean to exterminate our desires, but the same desires that are seeking to satisfy the selfish ego should simply be redirected to satisfy Krishna. Can you imagine if with the same intensity and determination that Hiranyakashipu was standing with his arms raised on his tiptoes for 100 celestial years, his body being eaten away by ants and insects, and he didn't move, he never moved, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he didn't sleep, despite how much his body was paining him. He was so determined. Can you imagine with that determination if he chanted 16 rounds of japa? He would have been a great, great Vaishnava in a matter of days. But unfortunately, although he had every opportunity, he was overcome by the three modes of material nature. He was a puppet of his own passions, a puppet of his own ego. Yes, he was determined. And he fulfilled all of his desires. He was the controller of the universe. not of a family, not of a company, not of a country, not even of a planet, of the universe. The demigods bow down to him. I don't see anyone in this world today, however great they may be, that Indra and Vayu and Narada Muni and Chandra, they come down to offer obeisances with folded hands and ask, what order do you have me? That was Hiranyakashipu. It was based on his desire and his determined practice to fulfill his desire. But the nature of this world, Mamupetya punarajanma dukalayam ashashvatam napnavanti mahatmana samsadim paramam gata. Great souls want to get out of this material consciousness because they know that it is dukalayam ashashvatam. No matter what arrangements you make, no matter how successful you are, it's a place of misery. Because there's an intrinsic problem with trying to enjoy in this world. You're not the controller. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the Supreme Controller. And if we're not completely under his control, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti, we are in the energy of material nature, which is under his control. So here is Hiranyakashipu. Really a success story. There would be many articles about him everywhere. He was the wealthiest in wealth. He was the world champion in fighting. Undisputed. Nobody would even have a match against him. They all just surrendered just by his raising an eyebrow. He was the king of all the planets from Swargaloka down, and he could get anything he wanted. The burning fire of his desires was blazing, consuming everything and everyone. But despite all that, he could not control his own son, Prahlad, 5-year-old child. And he was so determined. By all his efforts, he tried to make Prahlad like him. He was depending on Prahlad. There was a lot of prestige issues involved. He was very attached to prestige, Hiranyakashipu. But his own son, what are people going to say? He's a Hare Krishna devotee. It's very difficult. And Hiranyakashipu proclaimed to the entire Asuric race that Vishnu is the number one enemy who must be destroyed. Why? Vishnu killed my brother, Hiranyaksha. And my brother was so dear to me. Hiranyaksha was really an obedient brother of Hiranyakashipu. He went out from planet to planet, conquering it, just for his brother's sake. Hiranyakashipu didn't want the kingdom. He was just conquering demigod after demigod, asura after asura. He was just going everywhere with his club. He even went to Varuna. Said, I'm taking over. Let's fight. Varuna said, I can't fight with you, Hiranyaksha. You are so strong, and I'm quite old these days. I've retired from all this fighting business. But if you really want a good match, Vishnu has appeared as a boar called Varaha. Go fight him. Ah, I will fight him. And he did. was a good fight, but Hiranyaksha was killed. Varahadev, with one of his hooves, he just hit Hiranyaksha behind the neck and then pierced him with his tusk. Oh, can you imagine the blow to Hiranyakashipu? His number one supreme commander, general, his own younger brother, who was so obedient to him, and yet who terrorized the universe on his behalf, was killed by Vishnu. Now, Hiranyakashipu was not only powerful, he was also a reservoir of immense knowledge. He was actually an intellectual. And we find in the Bhagavatam some of the greatest slokas describing philosophy, which are even quoted by Vaishnavas, were spoken by Hiranyakashipu. He knew the Puranas. He knew such logic, such philosophy. He was a scholar, a pundit. Hiranyakashipu pundit. What an intellect he had. He knew who Vishnu was. But because of his arrogance, he could not conceive of anyone being better than him. He was so much deluded by Maya that he declared to his entire race a vow that he would personally sever the head of Lord Vishnu and drink the blood of Vishnu as an offering to the soul of his departed brother, Hare Krishna. Now, when a person with such an ego makes a vow before all his followers, and that's spread all over the place, it's a big prestige issue. And then what happens? After he conquers everybody, nobody dares to disobey him. His own little 5-year-old son, who's supposed to be his successor, is a devotee of Vishnu. And in the school where he sends his son to learn to be just like him, his son is preaching to everybody about being humble and being self-controlled and having no friends or no enemies, but loving everyone, being nonviolent. This was scandalous. Really, it was serious scandalous. We read about in these colleges and high schools and grade schools where kids are going in and shooting. Yes, horrible. What the age of Kali is doing to people's minds. Going in with guns and killing their classmates and killing their teachers. Even people they don't know, just for the sake of killing. Just to somehow or other vent the fire of misery in their own heart, their anxiety. They kill others. Well, actually, in a demoniac school like that of Shanda and Amarka, it was even more sensational and scandalous for someone to be preaching about bhakti to people who are being trained to kill like that, for no good reason except just for your own ego and anger and vent your lust. They're being trained to kill like that. And he's preaching, vegetarianism to rakshasas. That's serious. This is not, think about it. This is not just, you know, some people who go to McDonald's. Or these are hardcore rakshasas. They eat humans as a delicacy. Drink the blood. And that's their pride. And Hiranyakashipu's teaching ahimsa. And the culmination is everyone should surrender to Vishnu by chanting Vishnu's holy names. And the teachers, they chastise Prahlad. You can't do this. What will happen to us? They were more concerned with them than Prahlad. What will your father do to us if he finds out about this? This is scandalous. And Prahlad was so respectful to them. He never argued. He bowed down to them. He touched their feet. He was very polite. He was respectful to everyone. But he spoke the truth. And one day when they went out and came back into the class, they were horrified that all the students, along with Prahlad, were performing Harinam Sankirtan. At that point, they had to present their son, Prahlad, to Hiranyakashipu. He's unmanageable. You know, sometimes teachers have to return the child to the parent and say, you know, something, you have to deal with this at home. We can't deal with it anymore. Well, Hiranyakashipu decided to deal with it by murdering Prahlad. He used all of his powers and energy to kill that little child. And yet every day, Prahlad would bow down and touch Hiranyakashipu's feet and with folded hands, you know, praise him. And then Hiranyakashipu would try to kill him in so many ways. And still the next day, Prahlad would just bow down and touch his feet to respect his father. Amazing little boy. But in the end, when Hiranyakashipu became so outrageous, Lord Narasimhadev appeared, roaring with anger. His anger was every time Prahlad was attacked by Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadev saved him. But his anger was mounting each time, again and again. The Supreme Lord's anger just kept mounting up and increasing. Until the culmination, when Hiranyakashipu defied the Lord and was about to sever Prahlad's head with his sword, from the pillar, Narasimhadev appeared. And he was such an avatar that no one has ever seen. Hiranyakashipu could not even look at him. They fought. It is said that Lord Narasimhadev appeared around noon, and this battle went on till sunset. Lord Narasimhadev, he wanted to honor the benedictions that his devotee Brahma had given Hiranyakashipu. He could have killed him at noon. But then what would have happened to Brahma's reputation? He gave Hiranyakashipu the benediction, you will not be killed in day or night. He could have come in his four arms as Narayan. But Brahma gave the benediction that you will not be killed by any man or any demigod or any animal. So he came as neither an animal or a man or a demigod. So he appeared in this way, right at the dusk, when it's neither day or night. At that moment, he liberated Hiranyakashipu. Or as we said last night, it was the world's first gastrointestinal surgery. And it was a very successful surgery. It cured not only his intestinal diseases, but every disease Hiranyakashipu ever had. Free also. No charge. Krishnananda Prabhu was very concerned that I give that information. But he did not ask for any donation either. After Hiranyakashipu was dead, the demigods from a distance, a very, very safe distance, were offering their prayers, hoping that the anger of Narasimhadeva would subside. But it didn't. He was really angry. Now, for those who understand the subject a little deeply, we should contemplate just what was the anger of Lord Narasimhadeva. That even the demigods, through their choicest prayers of devotion, could not pacify, could not even reduce slightly. He was just trembling with anger, even after Hiranyakashipu was dead. What was that anger? His anger at one who offends his devotee. This must be understood. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who Lord Narasimhadeva is his expansion, incarnation, he warned us, do not offend the Lord's devotees. He compared it to the mad elephant offense. The mad elephant, there is no creature on earth more dangerous than a mad elephant. A snake can bite one or two people. A tiger can kill a few people. A leopard can do that too. But a mad elephant, when that substance starts flowing out of the body of a male elephant and they go mad, very dangerous. They go wild. They can just trample and villages. Anything that comes in their path is destroyed. Why is it such an offense? Why is it such? It's such an offense because the devotee is so dear to the Lord. And the Lord is so angry with offenses to his devotees. Now, impersonalists, it's hard for them to philosophically explain properly. Because for the spirit soul to achieve liberation, Vitadaga baya krodha manmaya manupashata bhavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavamagata. The great personalities of the past since ancient times, they are free from attachment, fear, and anger. Why? Because they're completely absorbed in the Lord and they take shelter of the Lord. So we become free of anger by taking shelter of the Lord. But we see the Lord is more angry than anybody. Hare Krishna. But this is not material anger. Material anger is due to unfulfilled desire. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna shamudbhava. It's under the mode of passion and ignorance. But the Lord's anger is transcendental because it is simply out of love, pure love for his devotee. The demigods were very afraid. What is going to happen to the universe if his anger doesn't subside? They approach Brahma. Lord Brahma could not stand before Lord Nrsingadev. So who else could pacify this anger of the Lord better than Lakshmi Devi, his own consort? So they approached Lakshmi. Please pacify your husband. Lakshmi Devi looked in wonder at this extraordinary form of Narasingadev. She knew it was her husband, but she never saw him in this mood. She never saw a form like this. She could not approach him. Brahma, even Shiva, who's the destroyer of the entire universe, he could not approach Lord Narasingadev. He became very shy. Not me. Finally, Lord Brahma approached Prahlad and said, The Lord has appeared for your sake. Please pacify him. Prahlad did not approach Lord Narasingadev because he didn't feel qualified. He felt to be the least amongst everyone. Here are all the greatest sages, rishis, yogis, devatas. They're all there afraid. They're all offering prayers to no avail. What is he going to do? He didn't come forward, raise his hand, said, I'll go. He considered himself the least amongst everybody. But Lord Brahma said, please, approach the Lord. And Prahlad had not a trace of fear in his heart. Everyone else was fearful, but he had not a trace of fear. His heart was simply overbrimming with love. And he went right to the lotus feet of the Lord. Can you imagine? You know, we read about Allah and the Lord of Abraham and Moses, very powerful father, and when he's mad. But they're all insignificant manifestations of the supreme anger of the Lord, which manifested as Narasingadev. He was like an enormous mountain with bloody intestines as a garland of victory that he put on himself. Hare Krishna. Who can approach him? But Prahlad went right to his lotus feet and offered his prostrated obeisances. And Lord Nrsingadev picked him up very gently and placed his hand on Prahlad's head. And now, today's verse, we hear Prahlad introducing himself to Lord Nrsingadev. Because when we offer prayers to the Lord, the first thing we say is very important. Because that introduction in our prayer is revealing to the Lord who we are in our own minds. Prahlad Maharaj, although he was the most qualified person, even Brahma and Shiva considered him the most qualified person in the entire creation to worship the Lord. His qualification was that in his own heart, he honestly felt he had no qualifications. And Srila Prabhupada explains here, one should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Now, what are Vaishnava qualifications? Self-control, humility, respect for others, compassion to others, devotion. What to speak of being proud of our material qualifications? Vaishnava qualifications are anti-material. They're just the opposite of material qualifications. Yes? You can't be proud of your material qualifications, and you can't be proud of the qualifications that you have that are transcendental. You can't be proud of anything except that you're just the insignificant servant of Guru and Krishna. That's all. If you think you're an advanced devotee, you don't try to approach Lord Narsingadev. Because he doesn't want to hear anything you say. If you think you're better than any other devotee, there's something seriously wrong with your heart. Srila Prabhupada, in regard, is revealing the heart of Prahlad by quoting Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He considers himself so unqualified, lower than worms and stool and more sinful than Jagai and Madai. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he is praying to worship and honor the feet of every devotee, even the new devotee, who's just learning what is bhakti. Now, when he offers this prayer, he's already written a vast portion of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which the greatest acharyas worship as a supreme literature. It has gone down in history as the postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam written by Vyasadeva. Can you imagine? What an exalted personality he is. Vyasadeva, he compiled the four Vedas, the Upanishad, the Puranas, the Itihastas, many Samhitas, vast library of literatures. He summed it all up in essence as the Vedanta Sutra. And then he wrote his own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is declared to be the very essence, sum, and study of all knowledge. It's the graduate study of all Vedas. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. It begins where the Srimad Bhagavatam culminates. And he's writing this literature. On the order of the great Goswamis like Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Janava Devi, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, they have all blessed him to do it. Isn't It's a book of spotless, eloquent Sanskrit, philosophy, Bengali, revealing the most esoteric, deepest truths of the spiritual world. And yet he's thinking, not just speaking, but Prabhupada says, actually thinking, that even the new devotee is better than me. New devotee doesn't even know he's not the body yet. Yes? You're just telling him, you're not the body. Really? Are you serious? after all this time that I'm trying to enjoy this body, it's not me? No, it's not you. You're the soul. Really? Amazing. You have to follow four regulative principles. This is going to be very difficult. I can't commit myself yet. I'm not going to take any vows yet. He thinks himself lower than that person. He's bowing down to that person. He wants to serve the person and take the dust from his feet. Not just in words, but actually feeling that way. One should not be proud of one's material qualifications. One should not be proud of one's non-material qualifications. If you're proud of your humility, there's something that's contradictory there. And nobody may spot that except the Lord in your heart. Yes? He will spot it. Not only will he spot it, he will magnify it. So this is Prahlad. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, Mahajano Yena Gadasa Panta. Very, very powerful what Srila Prabhupada is saying. A pure Vaishnav actually thinks of himself in this way, lower than worms and stool, and more fallen than Jagai and Madai, more sinful than Jagai and Madai. How many of us can actually think like that? That we're actually more sinful than Jagai and Madai? It seems unrealistic. They're drinking, we don't drink. They're killing, we're nonviolent. They're stealing, we're doing selfless service, just giving everything. How can we think we're more sinful than Jagai and Madai? It is Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujai. It is the quality of a pure soul. Srila Prabhupada says, similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure, exalted Vaishnav, who at this very time when he's speaking, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Vayu, Chandra, Narada Muni, all the great sages, they're honoring him. He thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Lord. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. Every pure Vaishnav should think like this. It is not that we should rationalize that this happened in Satya Yuga. And now it's Kali Yuga. Nobody could think like this. Or this is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Paramhamsa Samhita. This is the greatest Vaishnavas that everybody's supposed to read about and talk about, but that has nothing to do with me. But I'm sorry, especially for me and anyone else who this applies to, Srila Prabhupada is smashing our misconception in this one line. He's pulling, as they say, the rug right out from under us. We have no grounds to stand on that argument. Prabhupada says, every pure Vaishnav should think like this. in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnav qualifications. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed, Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are invoking the presence of the Lord. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Lord Himself who is manifesting with His Swarup Shakti, Srimati Radharani. Hare is Radha's name. Krishna and Ram is Krishna, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of all that exists. This Maha Mantra is so great. It is Shaktiman and Shakti, the Lord and His internal spiritual potency manifesting in sound vibration. And the power of that Bhakti Shakti that is within this mantra, when it is chanted in a way that will please the Lord, bathes our hearts and awakens that Bhakti Shakti of the Swarup Shakti of the Lord, Srimati Radharani. When she comes along with Krishna into our heart, it just saturates our heart with her bhakti and awakens our own love of God. But Radha Gopinath, they are independent. They will reveal themselves and they will work in their names according to our desire, according to our consciousness. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here telling us, this is the state of mind we must practice throughout our day and throughout our lives, so that Krishna will reveal His full potency to awaken our dormant love of God in His names. Srila Prabhupada ends his purport, unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. Hare Krishna. So if we're having difficulty, this may be the reason. We're not really meek and humble. Now, there are so many arguments against being meek and humble. Because living in this age of Kali, where people are so competitive and there are so many duties one must perform, whether one is working his or her occupational duties or just dealing with society, what to speak of living in the Hare Krishna movement? Where you have to deal with all kinds of oppositions within and without. And people oftentimes want to show how powerful and fearsome they are so that people just won't bother them. So that people won't abuse them, misuse them, exploit them. Yes, because this is an age where there is so much exploitation. And you have to really show your power and your strength and your ability to conquer, so that people will not try to exploit you. Yes? Even in the brahmachari ashram, this mentality could be there. And there may be some good reason for it. But the problem is, unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. And when Srila Prabhupada uses the word very, It's very. It's very, very, very. Philosophically, why is it very difficult to make spiritual progress unless one is meek and humble? Because you're on your own. If you have false pride, you are on your own against Maya. That's very difficult. But if you're meek and humble, you're actually putting yourself under the shelter of the all-powerful Krishna. Daiviyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vamye prapadyante mayameta tarantite. Material nature is very difficult to overcome. And Krishna also says very difficult. It's the same thing. When Krishna says material nature is very difficult to overcome, if you're not meek and humble, then it is very difficult to overcome material nature. But one who takes shelter of the Lord can easily cross beyond it. Isn't that the words in the Gita? Can easily cross beyond it. So difficult and easy is all dependent on being meek and humble. When you're meek and humble, you can actually, Krishna, I'm yours. Krishna, I'm depending on you. Now, we may have to sometimes show prowess for the purpose of protecting our mission. Srila Prabhupada, he was very powerful when he preached sometimes. Not only sometimes, often. Sometimes when he spoke against sense gratification, Mayavad philosophy, Sahajism, sinful activities, I mean, there were daggers and swords and fires and nuclear bombs coming out of his mouth. Very powerful. But he was doing that not with any false pride that I'm better than you. He was simply an instrument of Krishna, doing it for our sake, for the welfare. As a humble servant, he was trying to destroy the illusion within our own minds. Srila Prabhupada, just a few days ago, I visited His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami at Sri Radha Kund, Damodar Prabhu's beloved spiritual master. And we were talking, and he quoted Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada said that a Vaishnava preacher should have the courage and the strength of a commander in the British Armed Forces, and the heart of a Bengali mother. And he said, many devotees have focused very nicely on cultivating the first part. But they didn't hear the second part. At least, and the second part is all important. Yes, we should have the courage to be bold for preaching. But it must be with no ego. It must be in a spirit of compassion. It's not that it's, as they say, you put on different hats. It's not that you go into your British commando officer mode and then you go home and you become a Bengali mother. No, the Bengali heart of mother is always there, even when you're fighting against Maya. You're doing it with compassion. So what we find in Sri Prahlad Maharaj's verse today and Srila Prabhupada's purport is there is no way around it. There's no excuses, there's no justifications, there's no way around it. It may seem to our mundane conceptions, it's totally impractical to be meek and humble. We'll be trampled on. We'll be abused. We'll be taken for granted. We may lose everything. So many excuses. But you can't get around it. You have to do it if you want to make proper spiritual progress. Because if you don't do it, you're on your own. It's you against Maya. It's like you're Prahlad against Hiranyakashipu, but you're not a devotee. That is your chances. You're a little 5-year-old boy with skinny little arms and little legs, and you're not a devotee. You're on your own against Hiranyakashipu. That's what Prabhupada means when he says, very difficult. Because if we're trying to make spiritual progress, we are fighting against Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is just a manifestation of Maya, material energy, trying to exploit. Yes? Where does Hiranyakashipu get all his powers from? Prahlad said from Krishna. But not directly from Krishna. He's getting his powers through Krishna's material energy. The three modes of material nature are working under Krishna's supervision. He's getting all his powers from the modes of passion and ignorance. Yes? So Hiranyakashipu is just the manifestation of material energy strength to try to destroy us. If you're proud, you're Prahlad, fighting Hiranyakashipu without Krishna on your side. That is very difficult. Or, if we want to be honest, it's impossible. But if we're meek and humble, then we understand Krishna's the doer. And we do what Krishna wants us to do. Then we can take shelter of Krishna. And in taking of shelter of Krishna, Krishna promises, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashiti. I will be there behind you to protect you. And then we're bhakta Prahlads with Lord Narasingadev, watching over us 24 hours a day to protect. To lift us. Now, from a spiritual perspective, that is very practical. It's totally impractical to be proud. Although materialistic people and materialistic conceptions of devotees may say it's impractical to be meek and humble. But these are all superficial external concerns. It's like Prahlad saying it's impractical for me to take shelter of the Lord in this situation. I have to fend for myself. If I'm being thrown in fire, I need a bunch of water with me. It's not practical to go without water. Huh? If I'm being thrown off a cliff, I need my parachute. It's not practical to get thrown off a mountain without a parachute. If I'm getting thrown underwater, I need my scuba diving equipment. So yes, it's practical. But it's impractical. Because a devotee understands that when you're fighting here on Hiranyakashipu, your water parachute equipment or scuba diving equipment is not going to save you. It may appear that it's postponing your destiny for a little time. The only practical thing is to surrender to Krishna. And you cannot surrender to Krishna if you have false pride. You must be meek and humble. You can be bold. You can protect that which needs to be protected. But never think yourself to be the doer. Always know that Krishna is the Lord of our lords, and we are completely dependent on him. Symptom of surrender is to exclusively depend on the mercy of Krishna. That is the glory of Prahlad. So he is offering this verse that we're reading today from his heart of hearts. And because he's revealing his consciousness, everything he's about to speak, Lord Narasingadev is going to hear with very, very deep satisfaction. Prahlad is asking a question. How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now, some devotees could take a Sanskrit class and start reciting beautiful prayers, thinking, the Lord is pleased. Arivo. Or even if we don't know Sanskrit, we can memorize the Sanskrit transliterations and everything and offer prayers and think, you know, just see my Lord Gopinath, see I'm offering nice prayers to you, just see my qualification, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm following a four-eyed principle, I've studied all these scriptures for so many years. But Prahlad, how is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words. In the previous chapter, Brahma, Shiva, the demigods, they're offering eloquent prayers in spotless Sanskrit, with such deep philosophical purport. And none of them could satisfy the Lord. And not only the demigods, but all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord. Although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. This is what we want. If we're sincere devotees, this is our aim in life. You may want to be a gopi and help the Manjaris to assist the Sakis in making tasteful arrangements for Radha and Krishna. That's what Rupa Goswami wants to bring us to do. But if we want to actually attain that state, we have to Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta. We have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. That is preliminary. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, when they first approached the Lord, they were just like Prahlad. Read the prayers of the first words that Rupa and Sanatan spoke to Lord Chaitanya. They are identical in spirit to the first words that Prahlad speaks to Lord Narasingadev. totally humbling themselves beyond human comprehension. They're also saying, we're demons. We're most unqualified. We're the most sinful. We're the most fallen. We have no qualifications whatsoever. We're only crying out for your mercy. This is reality. If you want to be making garlands with them for Radha and Krishna in Goloka, first you have to become like them. You have to become like Prahlad. Then Radharani and Krishna pick you up. They pick you up with great satisfaction as you chant their holy names. There was a nice echo during that mantra. Haridas Thakur said, when there's echoes of the chanting of the holy name, that is the non-moving objects chanting in response to the devotees. Hari Bol. So some people are, some of you are categorized as non-moving objects. This verse that we, you may think this is the type of verse that I would select. How many of you think like that? Because sometimes we speak on this subject, but it had nothing to do with me. Haribo. This morning during Japa, Govinda Prabhu said, we're going to have you speak on this verse today. And I actually tried to be meek and humble toward Govinda Prabhu. But Govinda Prabhu is a very, very genuinely sincere Vaishnava. We all know that. And it is very appropriate that we begin our Narasingadev festival of approaching Lord Narasingadev with the first prayers that teach us how to approach Lord Narasingadev. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And this morning, our beloved Madhava Prabhu, who has descended from the mountains of Switzerland, which is like a Swargaloka in this planet. But of course, he's coming from Vaikuntha Loka division of the Swiss Alps. But he's come to thrill our hearts with his Nam Sankirtan. Madhava Prabhu is one of the most favorite kirtan singers in all the world. When he chants, people go wild with transcendental satisfaction and become immersed in an ocean of the nectar of the holy names. And by the invitation of Gauranga Prabhu and the Brahmacharis, he has come all the way from Switzerland to chant. And for those of you who were here last night, unmarried men between, 15 and 30 or something like that, then you tasted a drop of that nectar as he chanted for many hours last night. And people were going mad in ecstasy. Yes? Especially Krishnananda Prabhu. When he enters his Ananda Swarup,
something that you have to be very, very careful to observe. But this morning, Madhava Prabhu, I think after breakfast prasad, from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock, you will be doing Nam Sankirtan. So you are all, you can take prasad and come back if you like, and you will be very happy. And then there'll be a class, and then this evening again, from 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock, you'll be doing Nam Sankirtan. And tomorrow also, from 5 till 9. And the next day also, from 5 till 9. And he'll go on chanting. At the end of the festival, we will probably go to sleep, but he'll go to some other festival and continue chanting. Let us welcome Madhava Prabhu to our festival. And he has come with Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranabandha Prabhu, Harivamsa Prabhu, and their very illustrious wives. We will introduce all of them more properly during our Sunday program. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.